Alrighty, today's daf in Masechet Kittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Chet, and we are holding on the third line. Now, what we've gotten up to is we're talking about what is considered to be a proper giving of the get. So remember, it has to be v'natan biyada, and we learned out from the Pasuk, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, is precisely what the diuk is in the Pasuk, that biyada does not mean literally biyada, but that we're able to extend the concept to biyada, and there was even the Machlokas, how literal is the extension, how much does the extension have to be similar to yada, does it need to be korovla, and so on. This was our discussion yesterday, and now we're getting more into the question of the fact that it has to be hers. It's not just in a yad that is mishtameret, it's bi yada. So we said that even if he throws the get into the bed where she is, that is not considered to be the equivalent of handing it into her hand. And Trevor, please mute. There's a little bit of noise coming from you. Just press your mute. So, Omar Rava, when do we say that even if it's in the same bed with her, that's only if she is in his bed? But if this is her bed, then she would be migureshet. Tanya Nami Achi, Reb Eliezer Omer, b'mita shelo eina migureshet, b'mita shela, she would be migureshet. Now, our assumption was that the reason that this is true is that even if it's in his home, but it's her bed, that the kalim of an individual are considered to be his own rishus, even though they are subsumed within someone else's rishus. They're in her husband's home. But if that's true, and we're taking this for granted, so then we should have a solution to a long-standing question. Because Tanya Nami Hachi, Reb Eliezer Omer, this is not just Rava's opinion. This is a braita in which Reb Eliezer says, indeed, if it's his bed, then if the get falls into his bed in which she is, it's not Megureshet. But if it would be in her bed, it is Megureshet. But asks the Gemara, why would that be true? B'mita shela Megureshet, kelav shelo keach b'rushut mocherhu. Wait a minute. This opens up a can of worms, because we've got a big machloket about what the din is of the fact that a person's kelim, something that belongs to you, you have a box, and that box is put in someone else's home. Something put into that box, would you be able to be kena it? Or do we say it's the subsuming rishus that defines it? And the fact that it's your box doesn't mean that anything in it is yours, because overall, it's in someone else's property. This was a big question. And now you're telling me, as a simple statement, it's clear that if it's her bed in his house, then the get falling in her bed is considered to be giving her the get. But then if that's the case, shmamina, then that means we have proof positive that kelav shalokeach b'rshut mocher kana lokeach. And we know that that is a big question that not everybody agrees with at all. And here you're saying that it's a given. Answers the Gemara, not necessarily. The reason why here, if it's her bed, it would be considered not to be in his rishus is because we're not talking about some little cot. We're talking about a bed that is so high that it is 10 tvachim high. So in other words, it's about a meter off of the ground. Once it's 10 tefachim high, then it's considered to be its own rishus. That's always the shear of its own rishus. And because of that, this has nothing to do with the ketlim b'rishut hamocher, or as if it's her bed in his rishus. This is her bed b'rishut atzma. It has its own special rishus, and therefore it is considered to be a kinyan of the get. But wait a minute. It's not a haver bed, is it? I mean, it's standing on the floor. So, I mean, if the legs of the bed are on the floor, so we've got the same problem. I mean, who cares how big it is? But you're going to tell me you have a big box, a very big box. So therefore, it's not considered to be with the subsuming rishos. I mean, I understand if you want to tell me it's a haver bed, then I don't know how comfortable those are. They move around a little bit. But if it's a haver bed, then it's not in his rishus at all, maybe because he's not makpid on the avir of his rishus, whatever. But we're certainly not talking about a haver bed. So what about the mokum kroy? A mokum kroy lo kapte inche. The idea over here that a person is actually considered to be makbid on his rishus, defining it as his rishus, only for things that bother him. If it's something, if it really would be a haverbet, it should also be in his rishus because it's in the airspace of his rishus. The point is that since it's so high, okay, fine, that doesn't bother me. I mean, you know, I could still get to keep all my stuff under that bed. So over here, the fact that there's a little bit of space that's taken up by the footprint of the bed, that doesn't bother him. And because of that, indeed, it's considered to be in her rishus. Maybe. We can't be absolutely sure. It may also be that the din is that kelim shel koneh b'rishut ha-mocher are koneh, and that maybe a person's specific kelim are considered to be his own. We don't know for sure. So far, we're leaving the question open. Now, the next case that we had in the Mishnah is that the get falls on her lap, or it falls into her little knitting basket, right? The toch kalata. So we said over there, it's begureshet. So we're back to the same problem. Because, I mean, obviously it's not talking about that it's in her house, because we said then it doesn't have to fall on her body. It could fall anywhere in her house, we said, right? As long as she's there, it's mishtameret. So then what we're talking about is in his house. So we're back to the same issue. How is her knitting basket sitting on his floor considered to be her rishus? It's the same issue. Am I? Kelav shalokeh b'rishut mocheru. And again, this would provide us proof positive from a Mishnah that would be considered to be her rishus, in which case, why did we have such agonized questions about whether it's kena or not? The Mishnah here says it is, right? Omer of Yud Omer Shmuel, not necessarily. Maybe we're talking about a knitting basket that she's wearing, and it's tluyaba. You know, it's like one of those little side packs, you know, and she's got all her stuff in it. It's open. He throws her the get falls into the side pack. Now, over there, we're certainly not going to say that the fact that the actual persona that we're giving it to and the extensions of that persona, that's considered to be subsumed by the rishus of the husband. It's more hers rishus because it's attached to her body than it is hers. So that wouldn't prove anything. V'chein omer Rabbi Elazar omer Rabbi Hoshaya. When the Mishnah says over here, into her knitting basket, what we're talking about is one of those fancy duper knitting baskets, all leather made with, you know, the name of the designer on the outside. I mean, women don't just carry knitting baskets. So, I mean, this is an Yves Saint Laurent knitting basket attached around her. It's sitting there on the side. Beautiful processed leather, $3,000 knitting basket to allow her to do 10 cents worth of knitting, which is the way the economy works nowadays. And therefore, it's considered to be in her rishus. But if it was some crummy knitting basket on the floor, maybe it wouldn't be. Fine. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, it doesn't have to be a fancy knitting basket that's hanging off of her shoulder crosswise. Come on, those are expensive. All it means is that it's more dependent on her than it is on his rishus. So, for instance, let's say she's tied it to her legs. So whenever she walks, the knitting basket, of course, it has these fancy little wheels underneath. Forget about how much she paid for that. But the point is the knitting basket goes along with her. It's like a vacuum cleaner, for heaven's sakes, right? Okay. So that's the kind of knitting basket that could be kena, the get for her. So that would be the case. Kshurav apijana tuliyabam. Ravada Barava says, well, why can't we be talking about a case where she's sitting on the ground? There she is, squatting on the ground. Her knitting basket is between her legs. I mean, so certainly when the man invites his wife into his home, she's allowed to sit there, right? And he's giving her, he's being miyachid this space for her to sit. So a person is sitting in somebody's house, so then the very fact that he's lending that space to the person means legally, it doesn't, What do you think? It's shaped like the space between the legs is taken out, and therefore the knitting basket is in his rishus. I mean, it's between her legs, so it's basically part of the area that was miyuchat to her. And ha'ita kalatam unuchat la ben yirechotel. So it's between her thighs, and that's fine. That's her space. Rameshar Shabar of Dimi says, well, I mean, look, the Mishnah really, gentlemen, is not coming to address this issue, is it? So, I mean, you don't need to worry about, but what do you mean? What about the question of whether you have a right to leave it? Forget it. If you know of one case where that would work, so say that's the case, because the Mishnah doesn't care about this issue. We're not learning Bob Metzia here. We're learning about the question of whether an extension is considered to be the same as handing it into her hand. Who cares about you? You want to know the details? I'll give you a crazy case where the details work, and that's good enough. This husband of hers, he would never have bought her an Yves Saint Laurent knitting basket, for heaven's sakes. The only point is, that's what he makes his living off of. He sells knitting baskets. There you go. So his entire house is full of knitting baskets. He's got people coming in all the time. FedEx is picking up knitting baskets. You think he cares if there's another knitting basket on the floor? How do you like that case? Fine. Don't torture me about what the case is, or I'll throw it back at you. Adorable. Okay. So this husband sells knitting baskets. All right, so because of that, we're not worried about this issue. Love it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, look, the point is that any place where the person allows his wife into, I mean, listen, not everybody's going to allow a wife into the same house. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I got enough tsaras in my life. I need to let a wife in here. You know, this is his attitude. But once he invites her in, it's probably okay if she brings the vacuum cleaner with her, right? And the knitting basket. So if that's the case, he obviously means to be makna her this place. He's not makna on that. Rabbi Yochanan, makom cheka knuyala. I mean, she's got a right to bring her lap in with her, right? Makom kalata knuyala. And her knitting basket is also, it's a place which is her rishus because he gives it to her for that period. Why? Amar Rava, the Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning is that a person who is not makbid, but it was the same thing we said before about Kra'i Amita. When we say that a person really does not sit there being that absurdly obsessive about control, that, you know, he's got to control, I mean, he doesn't care about the place where she's standing, sitting, where she's putting her kelim down on. And in fact, Tanya Nami Hachi, Zorko, Letoch Kheika, or Letoch Kalata, or Letoch Kol Davar Shehu Kekalata. Now, this is the proof that we're bringing. Anything that would be like that, that's the kind of thing that a person would bring along with them into the house. A Rezu Mugereshet. So, what do you think that means? Something that would be brought along with you. Latuye Mai. Latuye taska da'achla batamri. What's a taska? Everybody knows what a taska is because of the child's rhyme. A tisket, a taska. It's a basket. Exactly. So if you're carrying around a little basket, a lunch basket, then he's not going to be mocked. Leave your lunch basket outside. No such thing. And therefore, she would be clearly the focus over here is what is the norm for a person to accept that a person would be allowed to bring in to his home and set down. Which brings us to a special gray, richy morning with the rain and fog all around. But our skipper, with his far-seeing eyes, and of course it is helped a little bit by the sonar in his boat, but with his far-seeing eyes, is able to introduce excellent. Omala can see Starchovza. Now we get to another problem. The other problem is that in the Pasuk it doesn't just say Venatan biyada. It says Venatan biyada vishilcha mibeto. Now, that means that either the actual nitina in her hand needs to be part of the vishilcha mibeto, or it means that there shall be a subsequent clarity that what he put into her hand what was Meshaleach Mibeita. So in other words, let's say he says, this guy's got a lot of guts. This guy says, here, honey, here is your new credit card. Ha! And she opens it up and it's a get. Okay. Meanwhile, he's escaped from the house, right? So is that considered to be Vinatan Biyada Vishilcha? So would it be okay if he calls her up afterwards and before she gets a chance to hang up on him, he says, it was actually your get. And he hangs up. Would that be okay? Or does it have to be given to her with fessing up to the fact that this is your get because the netina needs to be the vishilcha? That is a machlokas, as we'll see. But the pashta says here that if he presents her a get and he says, kinsi shtar chov zeh, here, have a check to bring to the butcher. Oh, shemetza'ato mi'achorav. Now this seems to mean that he was walking through the house, he drops the get from behind him, she says, here, honey, I picked the... And she finds her get. But it can't be that, because we know that that's sligi teich mi agabe karka. So that's what it sounds like, but we're going to have to fix this, because it can't mean that. So she picks it up, and behold, it is a get. Varehi gita. It's still not a get. Achi omarla, he has to tell her, Hagitech, this is your get. Now, again, it's not clear whether a phone call subsequently would do the job, but the Pashas and the Mishnah is, yes, it would. We'll see that there's a machlokas. How about if he puts the get in her hand while she's asleep? He tiptoes out of the room. She wakes up and finds herself holding a piece of paper, reads it, Korah Varehu Gita. Also not a get. Eino get atche yomarla until he tells her hagitech, which is mashmur, he could call her up. So the question is, if she found this get on the ground and reads it, why would that be a good get? Ki yomarla hagitech. Even if he would have said this is your get, it wouldn't have been good. Even if he said it at the time, it wouldn't have been good, because it's tligitech mi'agabe karka. This is a classic case of saying, here, pick it up. Where was the Vinatan Biyada? She can't take the get. He has to give her the get. And remember Rava's Psak. Tli giteich mi'agabe karka lo amar klum. That's meaningless. So the Mishnah can't mean that it dropped behind him and she picked it up. That's not what it means. What it must mean, therefore, is he's walking by her, and she notices that she's got this scroll sticking out from his belt, you know, and she grabs it to see what it is. That must be what it's talking about. So what happens is, she shalafto miachorav. She pulled it out of his belt. So it's the same problem. The question isn't how close it was to his body. The question is, did he give it to her or did she take it? That doesn't change anything. If she picked it off of the ground or she picks it off from out of his pocket, the point is, she's taking it. So how does that explain anything? But I thought we needed. Where's the Venatan Biyada? Valeka, we don't have that. No, I mean, what happened is over here, it was like in his side pocket or between his belt. He gives her, by sticking out his hip towards her, here, honey, and she takes it, right? So then the sticking his hip in her face, that would be the orak lecharze v'shalafte. That's what it's referring to, and that's considered to be handing it to her. Tanin amiachi, omar lakin si shtar chov zeh, o she shalafto me'achorav, not that it dropped on the ground. Karato v'regita, eno getat shiom lahagitech divrei rebi. Now here we get to the question about whether a subsequent phone call is good enough or it has to be given with the context of its being a get. And that is Rav Shimon ben Elazar Shita, lo olam eno get ad sheyitleno emeno v'yachzor v'yitinenu la. It's not a get until the actual giving was being given b'torat gitin. So he would have to take it back from her and represent it as, behold thine get, and then gives her the contract. And does that sound properly medieval? Fine. So then it's giving her the get. Don't ask me why people feel more comfortable if it's medieval when they're learning Gemara, but somehow or other. Okay. So he gives her the get as a get, then it's a get. Okay, the next case we ask. Natan natno biyadav yeshena. She's fast asleep. She wakes up and reads it, and behold, it is her get. It's not a get. Until he phones her and tells her, by the way, I left you a little something in your hand. It was a get. That's Rebbe's approach. But here, too, Reb Shimon ben Elazar argues and says, no, he'll have to face the music, go back, take the get from her, and give it to her while she's awake, and tell her, here is your get. Why do I need to have the machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Elazar on two separate cases? One, the case where she picks it up from where he extends his pocket to her, and the other where he put it in her hand when she was asleep. I mean, I get the idea. The idea is that according to Rebbe, it's the ultimate knowledge that it was a get that's okay. And according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, it has to be presented that way. I mean, what, I have to sit here and tell you every single case? What's the point? Ah, says the word tzricha. There is a point. Because, look, the cases are hardly the same. Because in one of the cases, you know, she is asleep. And that changes things. Let's say we would only have the first case where he presents it to her, she's awake, and he says, here is a check, right? Or where she actually took it from his extended pocket. Maybe that's why Rebbe says that if he phones her afterwards and tells her that's a get, that's because at the time that he put the get in her hands or in her extended hands, she was awake. And therefore, she was able to be megureshet because she would know that she was sent away. And therefore, the vishilcha is applicable. Avol natan biyadav yishena. She's fast asleep. At that point, she cannot be aware of the fact that she has been sent away. And that is part of the sending away process. Vishilcha, that she should know, I'm no longer welcome. Well, she's fast asleep and she's having wonderful dreams. How would she know that I'm no longer welcome? I'm a shulachat. So maybe in that case, where natan biyadav yishena, where at that point she's incapable of the vishilcha, and that, after all, is our problem. We need the vishilcha. Maybe there, Rebbe would be made to Reb Shimon ben Elazar that a subsequent phone call is not sufficient. You have to redo it properly, that the vishilcha should be at least possible at the time that it's given to her. So maybe he would agree, okay, then take it back. You'll have to redo this. On the other hand, let's say we only had the case where she was asleep. Then I could easily think that Reb Shimon ben Elazar's entire logic was due to the fact that she was asleep. In other words, since she is asleep and cannot be vishilchad, therefore we need to take it back and give it to her again. But in the other case, she was awake. So if she finds out subsequently that at that point she was vishilchad, that's fine. Did it say in the pasuk that it had to be vishilchad at the moment of the netina? Maybe Reb Shimon ben Elazar wouldn't hold that, and maybe he would be mited to Rebbe. Therefore, we need to know that actually he does hold that, and that the vishilcha is a definition of the venatan biyada. Omar Rava, suppose he writes a get, and he puts the get in the hand of her slave, an Eved Kenani. So now, if that Eved Kenani is fast asleep, and she is watching the Eved Kenani, then it's a kosher get. But if the Eved Kenani is awake, then we said it's not a get. Why? Because remember we introduced yesterday the concept of a chatzer that is mishtameret lida'ata versus a chatzer that is mishtameret shalomi da'ata. Now, if the Eved is asleep, then he is not aware of what's in his hands. He's not watching things. The master, in this case the mistress, she's the one that is taking care of her. So he just is the equivalent of a box that she owns. And a box that she owns, we said, is considered to be perfectly good netina liyada. But once he's awake, then she's not watching him, because basically he does what he wants because he has this independent mind. And at that point, it's a chatzer mishtamer shelo ledata. That's the difference. Wait a minute. 1 second over here. Rava, you're forgetting a very important question. And that is, walking boxes are not considered to be valid rishuyos for kinyan. That is called a chotzer hamithalechet. If it's an AI that is able to move around from place to place, it still wouldn't be a good get. Why do you say that if he's fast asleep, then she's mishameret? That's good. Am I chotzer mehalecheti? And I thought we said that this is actually Rava's own psak in Bava Metzia, that if something moves around, that it's not considered to be a real chotzer. So what, you want to put something on her cow? I mean, the cow is here now and in 2 minutes somewhere else. That's not called a chotzer. That's a cow. And therefore, I mean, take a look at the way Gavi moves away every time one of those things comes at him. He wouldn't run away from a chotzer, would he? So this is not considered to be a chotzer. And therefore, what good is it? Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, ah, but a sleeping cow gathers no moss. Let's say something like that. So if that's the case, it would be a chutzner. And over here, the Eved is fast asleep. Maybe that's what you think the answer is. That's not a good answer. Because the very same Rava who said that a walking chutzner is not a chutzner also said that a walking chutzner that happens to be at rest is still a walking chutzner. So if Rava said kosher ilu mahalach lo kana, if when it would be walking, it wouldn't be a kosher chatzar, the fact that it happens to be standing still right now doesn't change anything. And therefore, if it's omed v'yoshev, also lo kana. So how did Rava ignore that? It's very simple. Yochata, Rava would still apply perfectly well in a case where the Eved is not only asleep, he's also tied up and he can't move. So therefore, mishtameret ledat ta, because he's asleep, chotzer, because she owns him, eina me'alechet, because he's tied up. So now we've covered all of our bases. And this brings us once again to our intrepid captain. All right. Doc is getting closer. I just want to warn you. I mean, again, I don't like drawing attention to Zoom's very carefully plotted, but just take into consideration, Richie, he might be getting closer. So by the next Mishnah, we expect a little bit more energy. Okay. Now, up until now, we've been talking about a case where the get was thrown in her bed or whatever, and it's all in the rishus of the husband. Now, the question is, what is considered to be her rishus within that, right? But how about if they're not bichlal, even in a private area? So they're in a public area. So now, I must tell you that the Mishnah oversimplifies the issues that are involved here, again, because we're not learning these dinim here, but the truth is that the question of kinyanim, which is the focus of Bava Metzia, it has a much more detailed understanding of these issues. So to simply use the word Rishus HaRabim is a bit misleading because there's all types of levels of what we would call here Rishus HaRabim. For instance, how about a sidewalk as opposed to a street? How about a little alleyway on the side of Rishus HaRabim, which is generally used by merchants, people who will put up a little, you know, counter where they'll sell all kinds of cheap things until the city chases them away and says, you're blocking the sidewalk kind of thing, right? So these are called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim or Simta. And the halachas are not exactly the same because there's a big machlokas there in Bava Metzia about whether a true Rishus HaRabim, where there's actually cars driving down the road. I mean, it is a bit funny to say that if somebody has something in the middle of the street and he's dodging cars, that would be able to be kena for him. So the truth is that the whole concept of a Rishus HaRabim being able to be kena for you is built upon a halacha that is really a derabbanan. And that is the idea of personal space, which we've talked about. And that is a Gavi concept that was already written down about Arba Amotav Shel Adam, or konotlo. So a person within four amos of something is considered to be the one who defines his personal extended area. Once it gets into arba amotav, it's considered to be a kinyan for him as if it would have been in his personal rishos. How can the Rabbanan create a kinyan? Well, remember, they certainly have the right of hefker bez din hefker. So in other words, if the Rabbanan say that once something is entered into your personal space, any other ownership of it is now removed to be yours, assuming that this was the agreement, obviously. They're not taking away things from people, but it's considered to be yours, and it's a proper kinyan, as if it was in your rishus. So then that would be a function of hefker bez din hefker, which is a valid and legal right of bez din. Question is, how would that function in terms of a get? I mean, the Torah says v'natan biyada. Would the Rabbanan's definition utilizing hefker bez din hefker in terms of ownership, would that suffice to be considered v'natan biyada? Now remember, yesterday we pointed out that the obvious difference between the criteria that will define giving her a get or the criteria that define ownership of something that you made a kinyan on are clearly not directly nogea one or the other, correct? So, I mean, it would be all very nice to say, well, once the Rabbanan make it at Rishus, so then it would be good enough for a kinyan of the get. Maybe, and maybe not. Now, there are many Rishonim who actually learn, unbelievably, that the mechanism of the get in a situation where he utilized giving something within four amas, and as I say, within four amas is a machlokas, whether that could be done in the middle of a street or only on the sidewalk or only in a side alley, but whatever the case is, that's what we would be talking about. Just don't take it as meaning necessarily Rishut HaRabim. Okay, how would it work for a get? Unbelievably, there are those who learn that it works because of Ke'inu Rabbanan Kedusha Mineh. The Kedushin. Now, remember that we've utilized that concept of Kolda Mekadesh Adai to the Rabbanan Mekadesh. And therefore, amazingly, the Rabbanan have the right to retroactively say, if you gave a get in a way that the Torah doesn't like, but that people will consider to be a get, then what we are doing is canceling your marriage retroactively. Now, we pointed out that gives a chance for mamzerim to not be mamzerim. And it seemed like an incredibly specialized kind of idea, especially the way Tosfos was using it. Well, they never would have made the takkara if it was used in order to be bater mamzerim. I mean, if you hold according to these shitas, this is as standard an idea as hefker bez din hefker, which is astounding. I mean, then we're not going to say we're only going to give this halacha in the event that it's not mater mamzerin. You understand? I mean, so this would mean that there's all kinds of issues that a sneaky mamzer, who's a really nice guy, but he's a sneaky mamzer who wants to make sure that he isn't a mamzer, but he's sneaky. So he would always be able to persuade his irreligious father to biological father, right? Well, you know, why don't you make me happy and just throw a Jewish divorce to my mom, your ex. But that was 30 years ago. Okay, but give her a kosher divorce. Throw her a get. So he throws her a get in the middle of the street. According to these shitas, the only way that get worked was because of Kinu Rabbanu Kedusha Mineh, and now the sneaky momser is just a sneaky nice guy. How do you like that? Okay. So anyway, it's fascinating how far the question goes about the way in which such a get would be a kosher get. But fine, we need to take all of that into consideration. Now, whatever this area is, whether it's a literal in the middle of the street, or whether it's only on the sidewalk, Sidei Rishus HaRabim, or in a simta, whatever the case is, what would define your area, if you're both standing in this Rishus HaRabim? So the Mishnah says, if they're both there, now he's throwing it to her in the street. So who is it closer to? Or that was a very, very inappropriately grammatically spent. To whom was it closer? Okay. So the question would be, Korovla, if it's closer to her, so then she is Megureshet. But if it lands closer to him, then it's not Mugureshet. And if it's smack bang in the middle, then she's half Mugureshet and half not Mugureshet, meaning that we're going to be machmer on her, that if he's a Kohen, he can't be married to her any longer and can't remarry her. And if she wants to marry someone else, she's going to need to get another get, right? Okay. Now, this is very problematic, because how in the world did this original takana of Arba Amos get turned into somewhere close to her, somewhere close to him, and what exactly do we mean by close? By close, do we mean physical proximity? So why would it be defined by whoever is closer? And what would mechzo mechza mean? I mean, we bring a laser measurement and we find out it's precisely the same. I mean, can you do that? That is really mechza mechza? It's weird. So this might mean all kinds of other things. Perhaps the idea over here is not physical proximity, but control. Who is more able to control the get? So let's say the doggy comes along to eat the get, having run out of homework, and now it grabs the get. Who can stop the doggy? He or her? Maybe it means something like that. Or it might mean even more esoteric issues. We'll see how we define this precisely, but it don't take for granted that it means to whomever it is closest, that's who it's considered to belong to. We'll talk about this. Now, the same thing is true about Kiddushin. Somebody throws this diamond ring to the woman and says, Hareat Mekudeshet Li. Well, to whom was it closer? Was it closer to her? Was it closer to him? V'chein le'inyan ha'chof. And this would be true about paying back a debt. For instance, suppose a guy says, you owe money to a guy, and he says to you, Amar lo balchov, throw me the money, will you? And he's in the middle of Rishus Harabim, whatever Rishus Harabim is. V'zarkolo, and you did throw it to him, and then before it got into his hand, the doggy got it. So there goes your $1 million. So it depends. If it landed closer to the lender, Korov Lamalva, so then it's his problem, because it was his at the moment that it landed close to him. If it landed still within the Korov Lalova, then the borrower never got him back his money, so then he's chayev. If it landed in the middle, so then let them split it. Okay. First of all, this business of closer. What do you mean by closer? I mean, how does closer a legal concept? I don't understand. Was it within both of their Arba Amos? And if it's not within either Arba Amos, how is it a kinyan at all? What do you mean when you say closer? Hechi dami korov la, vehechi dami korov lo. Omar Rav, no, look. Obviously, there's no new takana over here. There's only this original takana of Arba Amos. So, imagine a case. The get lands. Now, she's on one side, he's on the other side. Both sides are within the four amas of the get. So there's four amas of his side, four amas of her side. So then, if it's within her four amas, then it's hers. If it's within his four amas, then it's his. Yeah, and what would be half and half? Amar Shua Bar of Yitzchak. Both of them are within four amas, right? So then it would be half and half. Just one second over here. These four amas are defined by the individual who gets there first. In other words, the four amas are obviously a specific takana. If you're standing there, so then you get the right. Now, if somebody else comes there after you and says, ha ha, now I'm standing here. I'm sorry, sir, I was here first. So then your personal space is going to be defined by who got there first. So in the case of our Mishnah, what do you mean they're both there? I mean, they didn't both get there by being landed by some kind of spaceship at the exact same instant. Who got there first? Let's see who got there first. And don't try to tell me they both got there at exactly the same moment. That's ridiculous. How could you possibly say that? Now, your obvious response to that, gentleman, would be what? Exactly. That's why we said that we don't know. And it's a suffix in Megureshet, Vein Megureshet, right? No. Because the Mishnah uses the word mechzal mechza. It doesn't use the word suffix. So it means that it's possible to define a 50-50. So I don't understand. What's that definition? Give me the legal definition of a 50-50. Someone was there first. You want to talk about if I don't know, so then it's a suffix. Fine, but that's not what you said. So what is the case? You're right. Okay, so it can't mean what we thought, that it's his four amas or her four amas. I mean, one of them is where it is. Ela Amar of Kana, I'll tell you. What we're talking about is not that it would be closer to him or closer to her. We're talking about a total area that we are now measuring of 8 amas from him to her. So on the right side of the ring, here he comes and he's walking up. And on the left side of the ring, she comes. And now they get right within the force field of the 8 amas between one and the eye and getting any closer. Okay. Now, the get lands directly in the middle. Half of the get is in his 4 amas. Half of the get is in her 4 amas. And it doesn't have anything to do with who got there first because there only is one person in each 4 amas. Ha! That's the answer. Lousy answer. Well, Agit Gabe, the din is that when it says v'natan biyada, you've got to put the entire get into her hand, not you're holding half of the get and she's holding half of the get. That's not a get. Even if you got a string attached to the get, as we'll see, it's not a get. So forget it. That's not the case. Agit Gabe, it's still attached to him. Okay. I'll tell you, says Rabban Rav Yosef, we've got the right idea. So Rabban Rav Yosef, Tamar Tarvayu, we're not talking about a physical proximity and a question about the physical proximity. When we say that they're both in control, we mean we have 2 sets of witnesses. One set says it was closer to him. One set says it was closer to her. And therefore, the reality is 50-50. And therefore, it's a question. Boy, that is a real push, huh? Okay, but that's as close as we could figure it. Rabbi Yochanan says, now listen here. Do you guys know how to read? It says in the Mishnah, closer to her, closer to him. I think Rabbi knows how to write. And if you know how to read, then it means exactly what it says. I don't give a hang if it's 200 miles away. It's closer to him or it's closer to her. Okay? That's what it says. Korov la shaninu. That's even 100 amas away from her, as long as it's closer to her than him. If it's just korov lo shaninu, it could be 100 amas away from him. And then if it's closer to her, and only if it's closer to him, she's not going to be Megureshet. So now what we think this means is that it's physical proximity that he's referring to. But how could that be? Because then we're back to the question of what is half and half. So how does it mean half and half? Actually, dami mechtzal mechtzal. Omreb Shaman Baraba, I was told by Rabbi Yochanan that the meaning of close is not physical proximity. The meaning of close is whoever has control. Hu yochol l'shomro, v'hi eina yochol l'shomro. If he's able to control it because he's close enough to jump on it or whatever, that's called korov lo. If he yochol l'shomro, v'hu eino yochol l'shomro, then it's korov la. If both of them are capable of jumping there and saving it from the dog, that's considered to be al-mechza l'mechza. Now, that makes a lot of sense, because we're not talking about an extension of the new halacha of Arba Amos. We're talking about the din of control. Fine. Now, the question, does that mean that it's within Arba Amos, or does it literally mean even if it's far away? So Tosa says, look, this is something of a problem because Rabbi Yochanan seems to be extending the Arba Amos deal. And yet we do find in Bava Metzia, he seems to be focused on Arba Amos particularly. So one approach of Tosfos is that when we say Korov La and Korov La, that actually we mean even there it would need to be Yochola L'Shomro. That would be the point. But obviously, if he's talking about the question of this extension, and it's even if it's mea ama, so then he is talking about a different halacha in which we are giving rights to be able to transfer a get. And that's specific. And we'll see it may be specific to getin in a moment. And when Rabbi Yochanan was talking about this new halacha of control, he meant the universal idea of control would be afilu b'toch arba amas. Furthermore, it's here, that top Tosfos, it's Kedai for you to learn, that he has the other problem of What about the idea of there not being any takon of Arba Ames in Rishon Sarabim? And here we're pretending that there is, and it's a big machlokas. According to Ravashi, it isn't. So again, Tosfos says, look, I mean, maybe we're just using the word loosely. Maybe Arba Ames Rishon Sarabim means actually Tzidei Rishon Sarabim. Or maybe it means a simta. Or maybe there's a difference between Yochel HaShomro or any Yochel HaShomro. Maybe if you're able to be Shomro in the middle of a road, then that would be true that it would be Rishuso in the middle of a street. Okay, these are all possibilities, and we could take that into consideration in understanding Rabbi Yochanan. And there's actually, the Rabbanan said over to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yonatan, now Rabbi Yonatan had originally learned in a yeshiva in Bavel, and then he came to learn in Eretz Yisrael, and the Talmidim told Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rabbi Yonatan understands this Mishnah, and then they quoted back to Rabbi Yochanan the same idea that Rabbi Yochanan said is a function of control. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was absolutely shocked because as far as he knew, all these people from Bavel are basically retards. And how in the world do people in Bavel know how to intelligently explain a Mishnah? So Amrul Rabbana Kameda Rabbi Yochanan Mishmeda Rabbi Yonatan Hachi. And he said, what? Yadin Chavron Bavloy Lefurushi Kehay Tamra? I can't believe it. I mean, even though they moved here, are they already intelligent enough? That's amazing. Tanya Nami Hach. So we have a brayta that says Reb Eliezer Omer Kol Shehu Karov La Milo. Now look, he doesn't make any sense what he is saying, and you have to figure out what he's saying in order to realize that he's basically telling you Rabbi Yochanan's and Rabbi Yonatan's approach. So what it says in the brayta is again very tricky. If it was closer to her than to him, and the doggy comes and eats it up in lieu of homework, then she's not Megureshet. Says the Gemara, now come on. What do you mean she's not Megureshet because the doggy ate it up? How long is she supposed to keep her? Did she get the get or she didn't get the get? Once she gets the get, who cares if the doggy eats it up? How long is she supposed to keep her get from the doggies, for that matter? I mean, she's supposed to keep her get forever? Once she got it, she got it. Who cares? Ah, so you see clearly, he doesn't literally mean that. He's saying, let's say it's closer to her than to him. But if a doggy would come to eat up the get, she couldn't stop him from catching that get. Why? I don't know, maybe there's a fence that she needs to open, whatever it is, right? He could control it, but she couldn't. Then she's not divorced. So in other words, what is he basically telling you? That it's a function of control and not a function of proximity. That's exactly the point, which shows that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan are right. But remember that Shmuel, who used to call Rabbi Yehuda a sharpie, so he said to him, Shinana, I can tell you, listen here, sharpie, the truth is that the shear is Kadesha Tashuach Vetitlana. She's got to be able to bend over and pick up her get. But I would say, be a good boy. If the actual event comes to you, don't rely on all of this stuff. If you're talking about an area where there's any level of concern, of doubt, and control, and closer, and so on, don't get involved in gittin where people are going to start fighting and arguing and coming back to court and driving women crazy. Only do a get like this when it's in her hand. Now, there's some, as Tosfos brings, who take this to mean even the earlier issues of whether it lands in her reshus or so on. Tosfos vehemently disagrees. This has nothing to do with the issue of the chotzer and the bias or anything like that. He's only talking about these cases in a simta or reshus harabim, depending on your shita. And in fact, Omer le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, yes, I can tell you that there was an actual event. A guy threw a get in a reshus harabim, and the Rabbanan said, it ain't good enough for us. You got to give her chalitza because we don't want to rely on a get like that. So that's it, what Shmuel was saying. Don't give getim like this. Now, the Mishnah continues on to say, v'chein le'inyan kiddushin. This is a little bit weird because Rav Asi said that Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one that gave us this whole idea of the extended Arba Amos, whoever is closer, this is a special din that was said by Gittin and only by Gittin and nothing else. What? Eisvei Rabbal or Rabasi, the Mishnah says Beferish, the same thing is true about Kedushin, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying this is a special takana for Gittin? What am I missing here? So Rabasi said to him, well, that's not a question. Gittin and Kedushin are all the same thing, remember, right? Because the idea of V'yatza V'haita, that is the fundamental Torah's hekesh of comparing all the dinim of Gittin to the dinim of Kedushin. I mean, obviously, if he's saying Rabbi Yochanan only for Gittin, he can't mean only Gittin, not Kedushin. He means only that general set of Gittin Kedushin. What kind of question is that? So Shani Asim Nechtiv Yatzah V'Haita. Okay. That's a brilliant answer until you read the next two words in the Mishnah. Come on. If you're going to answer. The next two words are V'chein le'inin achov, okay? So how's Rabbi Yochanan going to explain that? So why don't we go straight to the core of the problem here? It says in the Mishnah that if a guy says, throw me the money you owe me, and he threw it to him, we have exactly the same criterion. Korov l'malve zocha alove, korov l'love alove chayev. I don't know, you know, what do you want? Here zocha means zocha in the case. In other words, the borrower wins the case by saying it got closer to the malva. That's what it means here. We didn't use the Lushan before. Mechza, yachloku. How could Rabbi Yochanan come off saying that it does not apply to a chov? No, says Rabasi. The Mishnah here is talking about where the guy said, throw me my chov and then you will be putter. I'm taking all responsibility. The guy said, but I don't want to throw you the loan. What happens if it gets lost and the doggy grabs it before you get it? Don't worry. On my achrayas. Ah, come on. If the Mishnah's talking about a guy said that, then what's the chiddush? Of course, any t'nai that you make for Momon is okay. If the guy said you won't be chayav, he said he was marchayus and my lememra. Ah, it's more complex than that. He said, throw me the money along the lines of a get. Beteras gitten. Okay, so fine. Very nice. But it's still, what's the chiddush? If the guy specifically said, a t'nai in moment, give me my money, it will have the same din as a get. So then it has the same din as a get. What would the point of the Mishnah saying, v'chein li nidchot? No, that's a different thing. That's because saying things, beteras gitten, is a little jocular, isn't it? In other words, you know, we've been sitting with this money you owe me for years. How about if we get divorced and you send me the money? Maybe that's all he's saying. You know, this relationship, it's a lovey-dovey relationship with you owing me that $100 million, but I would prefer a divorce. So he could mean that, you know. So he says, Beteras gittin, let this be our divorce once for all, huh? So I was kidding around. I didn't mean literally it should be like a divorce. Gamash b'lam, it's not true. We take it that way. Now, the terminology in the world over comes from this Mishnah, strings attached, right? Everybody knows what no strings attached means. That is based on the dinim of gittin. If you give a get and there is a string attached to the get, a literal string is what we're talking about over here. So if the get is in her hand and he's holding the end of a string, if the string is strong enough that he could pull that get out of her hand and drag it to him, then she's not divorced. But if not, then there's no strings attached because the string that is attached is basically irrelevant. Why do we get this? Because when the Torah says, V'katav la'sefer kritut, kritut means what it says, complete and total severance. That's it. It's overs. If the string's attached, it's not overs. And there, this is the reason for all of the Tanaim issues that we had where he's going to be able to control her life from this point on. That's not a get. It's not a get to say, this is a get on condition that you're not allowed to smoke for the rest of your life. It's none of your damn business if I'm allowed to smoke or not. And if you're trying to control my life, then it's not a get. That's exactly the point. So if you have a little string attached, if that string can actually pull the get back, what does that mean, pull the get back? Well, why wouldn't it? Where's the string? The string is in her closed hand, apparently. But when did she close her hand? If she closed her hand afterwards, she had an open hand, puts the get in her hand with the string attached. She then closes her hand. But at what point then was the get a get? Only when she closed her hand. Oh, wait a minute. That's a tzli gitech mi agabe karka problem, right? Brilliant. This does this question. So it's got to be talking about that her hand was shut. He goes, takes the get and jams it into her hand. So then it was v'natan biyada, and now he can't drag it back. That's one approach. The Riz approach. Rabbeinu Tam says, a little weird, isn't it? What about if he gave her the kind of get that most husbands really want to give their wives? It's a piece of radioactive uranium. Weighs an awful lot. So he just puts it on her hand while her hand withers. But he puts it on her hand. And now if he tries pulling it back, it's just a thread and it breaks. That's what it's talking about. Okay. So we can get very graphic over here. And the reason is we need kritut. Omri Yehuda, what about the question of how she's holding her hand? Suppose she's holding her hand at an angle so that her fingers are down. And every time, this is like you're trying to give your infant some cereal, right? You put the cereal, and it goes right on the floor. It opens the mouth, spits the cereal out. So she's holding her hand in such a way that you put the get into her hand and it just falls right out of her hand. So, yada asuya ketafres, af al pi shiigia get li yada, ena migureshet. But why? Even if it falls out, it's going to be falling into her arba amas. Now, obviously, we could say it's talking about it was arba amas in his rishos. It's talking about it's in rishos harabim, and they were going according to Rav Ashi, who holds up rishos harabim literally in the street. There's no whatever. Of course, we could say all of that. But basically, since the Mishnah doesn't distinguish, we want to figure out whether we can derive a halacha from here. So the Gemara says it's talking about a case where it never landed. So what happened was it was blown away, fell into a fire, whatever, and it never landed on the ground. Okay, but I mean, if it fell out of the hand into the Arba Ames, it's in the airspace of the Arba Ames. Why don't we take advantage of the airspace? Unless, since Rav Yehuda says she's not Megureshet, that actually will prove the answer to a known question that Rebbe Elazar raised. When the Rabbonin gave you Arba Amis in Rosh Hashanah, did they also give you the airspace of the Arba Amis, or did they only give you the actual ground space? Yesh lem avir o ein lem avir. We can prove from here that ein lem avir. Not necessarily. Maybe we're talking about over here as a case where there are Arba Amis, but is she's at the edge. Let's imagine a case where the husband is on one side of the river and she's on the other side of the river and he throws her the get and it lands in such a way that it rolls off her hand into the river. So since it's le'ibut koi, it only maybe would have been considered to be the airspace if there would be an airspace that would allow it to survive. But in this case, the airspace is over a moving water. And therefore, there is no airspace over these particular Arba Amais. Okay, gentlemen, we had an awful lot of fun today, although I must admit it was rather complex. We had to define what the nature is of the relationship of the Vinatan to the Vishilcha, and the awareness that this is actually a get. We had to define what area is considered to be hers. What is the dominant rishus when one rishus subsumes another rishus? What would be the halacha of rishus harabim, simta, tzide rishus harabim, arba ames? What's the nature of karov? Is it control? Is it knowledge? Is it literal physical proximity? And what would be the din where we have contradictory testimony about that kind of thing? And what would be the din of the extended airspace above an Arba Amas? What's the din of Hakpada in someone else's Rishos if he's not Makpid on that particular area? So on and so forth. Tons and tons of absolutely delicious new issues. That was so much fun. Looking forward to more fun tomorrow. See you, Bezrat Hashem. And don't forget to keep up your tefillahs for a Geula Shlema and a day tomorrow. Always yummy.